Hebrews chapter 12, if you want to go there and be ready. Why don't we pray and then we'll dig in. God, we come to you and we thank you because you are so good and kind and loving to us. You take care of us and you bless us with so much beauty. We see the sun and we feel the cold, and everything that you do is creative and caring and loving. And now as we open up your word, remind us of your goodness to us, even as you pull us in a direction of showing that same goodness to our brothers and sisters. God, I pray that you would work on our hearts as we study your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So we're going to talk today about something that I think is a huge danger, a big temptation for all of us. And I don't think we go around thinking, this is a temptation for me, but it is. I think we'll find as we go through this, so we all struggle with this in our lives. Sometimes we don't even realize that we are. Sometimes we just accept it into our lives and it's just part of who we are. It's bitterness. We're going to talk about bitterness today. I know that's not one you put on the marquee and come to church and, you know, we're going to talk about bitterness, but we are, because it's important. Now, when I say bitterness, you probably automatically are thinking of somebody. You're probably thinking, don't jab anybody with your elbow, you're probably thinking of a person or some people in your life that are bitter, that everyone that knows them says, that person is bitter. We don't think that we are. I don't think of myself when I think of the word bitterness. I could think of other people, not me, but we all have bitterness, or we all are tempted in the direction of bitterness. It's always there. It always crops up when people spend time together. So whether it's families, and we could all tell stories, right, of families we've seen that have been torn apart because of bitterness, and different people don't talk to each other, or whether it's friendships, you know, I'm sure you've lost a friend because one person or the other got bitter about something, or you know people who have lost friends because of that. And then on the surface, I would say surprisingly, but it's not surprisingly, bitterness crops up in churches. Why? Because, well, we're people. We spend time together as family. So the same problems you would have in a, you know, blood family, you have in this family, not this particular family, but in general. It's okay. So that's where bitterness crops up, everywhere where we spend time with people. What is bitterness? I was trying to think this week, and my wife helped me. We were out walking one night. I said, just describe bitterness to me, because I want it to, you know, like, and she gave me some really good word pictures. So this next section is not me, but it was us thinking, like, how do you feel? It's because it's a feeling, isn't it? You can't put your finger on it. It's when you feel, it's when you feel bad with somebody, and it's that feeling of disgust that you feel when you think about that person. You just, that your lip kind of curls, like, ugh. Maybe you don't say ugh out loud, but you feel that inside. You're like, it's like having acid reflux constantly in your stomach, and you're just like, ugh. It's that ugly feeling on the inside that you just constantly feel. You can't see the person or think about them or talk to them or even have somebody talk to you about them without feeling it. So who in your life, when have you felt that? Who has made you feel that? Who have you felt that kind of feeling towards? That's what bitterness is. And we can't always answer that last question because sometimes we're not conscious of our bitterness. We don't see it. We don't see it in ourselves. Sometimes we see it in other people. Have you ever found yourself saying, I never suspected that they had a problem with me? They were upset with me? Sometimes we don't see it. And when we do see it, we don't know what to do with it. So, because the person who's bitter against you, what do they say? Everything's okay. Don't worry about it. We're fine. And you know when you hear that, we're fine, if you've lived long enough, that means we're not fine. So what can we do about bitterness? Well, it's hard to also know how to get over bitterness when you feel it on the inside, because you say, I forgive you, but you still feel that thing, that ugh, when you think about that person. There's a text, Hebrews 12, look at verse 14. It's going to show us what we should do with our bitterness. It's going to help us when we feel that sensation of bitterness crop up inside of us. It'll help us detect it. It'll help us get rid of it. It shows us why it's so dangerous. Look at verse 14. Strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God. See to it that no root of bitterness springs up, causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. I read that, and the first thing that jumps out at me is bitterness is dangerous. That's what grabs me from that passage. It's bad. The big idea today is bitterness is destructive. Bitterness destroys. It's not me coming up and hitting you. We don't see its destruction. It's something that it's a force that works on the inside, and it is extremely destructive. I don't have to convince you of that. We've all seen the power of its destructions in our life. We've seen friendships that have been ruined and families that have been fractured and churches that have been damaged because of bitterness. You see it in the rearview mirror. I bet we all know people who have seen bitterness come into their lives and they're permanently twisted and full of misery because of the bitterness they carry around. Bitterness is destructive. And you go back to that passage, he describes bitterness as a plant. See that no root of bitterness springs up. The metaphor that he's gonna use is a plant. So to describe bitterness, he's saying, think about a plant. That's what bitterness is like. That's going to help us recognize it. It's also going to help us learn how to stop it. So it's specifically, it's a growing plant. It's a living plant. It's not a plastic plant. It's not a plastic plant that just, it comes like that and then stays like that. It's a living thing. It grows. It's fed. It interacts with its environment. Remember those words? We're going to go back to those. And then the same way that it has a cycle of a life cycle, that life cycle can help us and guide us. So what is the life cycle of both a plant or bitterness? It has a progression. It starts small and then it grows, right? So bitterness starts with a small seed, just like a plant. Go back to the verse. It starts from something insignificant. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up. It springs up. It springs out of something, right? Bitterness springs out of us feeling offended. That's just the initial little seed that starts it. Maybe it's an actual offense that kicks the whole thing off. They do something to us, or they look at us wrong, or they treat us, they do something and they treat us badly, or they talk bad about us, or they talk bad about us to other people, or they exclude us. Whatever the thing is, it doesn't matter if it's a real offense or if it's just something that we've misunderstood, whether it's real or imagined, it doesn't matter. From that seed springs up bitterness. Maybe it's not an offense that is the seed of that causes the bitterness. Maybe it's something like, oops, turned it off. Maybe something like envy. Like think Cain and Abel, right? So many times bitterness starts not because something was done, but because something wasn't done. Because we're jealous, we're envious of another person. They're being treated better than I am. People like them more than I do. They're treated with more preference. They receive more blessing from God. Whatever the thing is, and we're jealous, we're envious of the other person, and that becomes the seed. Have you ever felt that? And then from that seed, that offense or that envy, we start to feel bad about the person. We start to feel that ugly sensation towards that person because we're jealous of them or because they did something to us. And now bitterness has sprung up. It exists. It's a thing. The temptation when we see bitterness in ourselves or other people is to try to directly connect it to all of the offenses, to say, well, I feel bad towards that person, but I'm justified because they did this and this and this and this to me. That's why I feel bad towards them. But bitterness is something that is a thing all to itself. It comes out of, it springs out of an offense. It springs out, but then it becomes its own thing. It becomes something that exists separate and apart from the offenses. And we know that because even when we've resolved the offense, it's like, you said that, and yeah, you did that, and sorry, man, I'm okay. We can still feel that ugly sensation on the inside. The offenses have been forgiven, supposedly, but we can still feel bad towards that person. The disgust that we feel when they talk to us, when we look at them. That's what bitterness is. It comes out of an offense, and then it becomes something living inside of us. And so we ask ourselves, why do I feel like that? Why are they like that? Why don't they like me? Why? We're trying to find whatever we did that would cause that much bad feeling towards us, or us to feel that much bad feeling towards them. In reality, the answer to the question is, why do I feel that way? Why do they feel that way? Isn't the initial offense anymore, or all the offenses that came afterwards? It's that bitterness has sprung up in their heart or in my heart. And then, like a plant, bitterness grows. So it springs up and then it grows. Once it jumps out of that seed and springs up, it starts growing. Go back to the verse. See to it that no root of bitterness springs up. It causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. See, there's a growth progression. It springs up and it grows. It grows. Why? Because just like a plant, it's fed. Like a plant that, you know, gets fed by sun and water, and we feed bitterness in our hearts, and we become an active part of it. It becomes a little gremlin that we keep inside, and we're feeding, and it becomes our little pet. Maybe it starts because there was an offense. They did something. They were mean to us. But then all the subsequent things that they do feed that bitterness and make it grow. When we feel bitterness towards a person, we start feeling that they're being mean to us and doing things towards us and on purpose, and they're leaving me out. And whether it's perceived or whether we perceive it, whether it's real or not, doesn't matter. It feeds the bitterness that is in our hearts, and it makes it grow more and more. And then bitterness spreads, so it expands. Go back to the verse. See to it that no root of bitterness springs up, causes trouble, by it many become defiled. Well, where does it spring up? It springs up in your heart, my heart, but then many become defiled. Why? Because bitterness spreads, just like the weeds in the garden. You know how you have the tomato plants and the chilies and whatever you plant in your garden, and that was too biographical to be. So you imagine your plants in your garden, the good ones, right? And then you go on vacation, and as you go on vacation, you look out, you know, in your backyard, and you say, oh, there's a little bit of weeds in the garden. Not that big a deal. And you leave town for a week, and you come back, and it's spring, and it's been raining, so you know that you know your plants aren't going to die. They don't. But also, the weeds, what do? They spread, right? That's what bitterness does. It extends. The weeds spread through your garden, and then they start suffocating everything around it, everything in its path. Also, bitterness spreads throughout its environment. It extends from person to person. I feel bad with you, and now I'm going to share that with you. You're going to hear about why. Every time Ben comes up in my conversation with you, there's going to be a little jab. There's going to be a little thing. Bitterness, whether it's little comments we make, or we always are complaining about that person, or we're gossiping about them, or we're sharing stuff about them. That's gossip. Never mind. Repeating myself. Or we're actually saying why I feel bad about that person to somebody else. It's impossible to feel that towards somebody without other people hearing about it, right? We can't keep it to ourselves. I had a really bad thing like example that came to my mind. I was going to say, not written in my notes, obviously. It's like bad breath. You can't keep it to yourself. So I'm not going to use that example, but that's what it's like. You can't keep it inside, right? It bitterness spreads out, and then it destroys. As it spreads, as it grows, it's a destructive plant, the most dangerous plant that there is in the world. As it grows, it kills, just like the weeds in the garden. It kills everything that it finds in its path. Go back to the verse, the end of 15. Root of bitterness springs up, causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. Bitterness contaminates. It defiles, contaminates the person carrying the bitterness, and it also contaminates all the people around. It contaminates the way we see things. It defiles the way we see things, the way we see the other person. Bitterness, think about it, it leaves you blind. It makes you not see the good things that there are in the other person, and it makes you see all the bad stuff, and even the bad stuff that's not even there. You can see bad, you invent bad stuff when you're bitter. We perceive offenses that don't exist, and we exaggerate, and we take so personally every tiny thing they do and say. We see everything about that other person through, like, as if there was like a bitterness filter. Worst kind of filter ever. Makes everything look horrible. Bitterness defiles our judgment. It makes us assume the worst about the other person. Well, they walked out today and didn't say hi to me. Well, that's because we know why they do the stuff they do when we're bitter towards a person. There's nothing in our heart that says, well, maybe they were in a hurry. Maybe this, maybe no. They don't like me. I'm offended by them. I assume the worst about their moments. We assume that they do everything for bad reasons, because they're out to get us, or they don't like us, or because of that thing that happened in the past, or whatever the thing is. I know why you said that thing. I know why you did that thing. Our judgment is defiled. Our spirit, bitterness defiles our spirit. It twists us up. It makes us see and expect bad from other people, and even be happy when bad things happen to them. Have you ever seen that? Okay, so don't admit this, that but have you ever seen somebody else react to somebody they don't like when something bad happens to that person, and that little satisfaction they get, and they're like, yep, bad, it's been a long time coming. They kind of finally got. It messes with our spirit. It contaminates and defiles us on the inside. It makes us be cynical towards that person and then towards everybody else. It kills bitterness, kills grace in us. It makes us be so conscious of every offense and how unjust everything they've done to me is that I can't give unmerited favor to that person. That's grace. I can't be gracious to that person. I can't treat them better than they deserve because they've been so bad towards me, and that's all I can think about. Bitterness defiles friendships and our relationships with each other. It kills communication. I don't ask, well, why did you do that? Or what's going on? I don't clear up things. I don't express how I feel. I don't resolve problems. It kills the love that we feel towards each other. Instead of love, there's nothing about our lip curling up and going, ugh, when you see the, you know, you feel it. You never do that in public, right? But there's nothing about that feeling that is loving. It separates us from each other. It divides us into different teams. You know, I support this person. I support that other person. It separates our community, separates our church. It separates us from our ministry and the life that God wants from us. And maybe worst of all, it contaminates our relationship with God. It ruins, bitterness ruins the image of Christ in us. We're supposed to become more and more conformed to His image. It does the opposite of that. We don't treat other people with the love that Jesus has for us and for them. Bitterness is the opposite of how Jesus treats people. It separates us from God. Go to verse 15 again. Look at the first part of that. Whenever I talk about bitterness, I tend to just jump over the first part, but they're together. So look at that. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. Bitterness in me separates me from the grace of God. And I don't think I'm reading that wrong. Later on, look up Matthew 6:14 and 15. If we don't forgive other people their offenses against us, God doesn't forgive us. Jesus said that. It separates us from God. Bitterness defiles us and it destroys, it works destruction, horrific destruction in our lives and the lives of the people around us. So what do we do with bitterness? So let's drop into application here. God tells us in this text, there's commandments in the text, right? He tells us, so look at verse 15, see to it. So that's be careful. Be careful that this doesn't happen. Make sure bitterness doesn't spring up. That means we have to be little gardeners and cut that plant off or pull it up by the roots. Whatever you do with weeds, you should pull them up, and you know, easier to just cut them off. Whatever you do with weeds, do that to bitterness. We should cut that plant off. Why? Because, well, not why, when. We should do it as soon as possible because it grows. It's a growing thing. And like the weeds in our garden, as they grow, their roots are also growing and they get deeper in. And sometimes you come along and you can't pull them up because you've let it go too long. Bitterness gets all mixed up in our heart and our mind. It becomes part of us. Every day that passes, it's harder to pull it out. So we should, as soon as we see a tiny little bit of disgust for another person inside of us, we should instantly attack that and try to pull that weed out of our heart. How do we pull it out? We pull it out by, this is a big one, by recognizing it. In the same way that it's easy for us to see bitterness in other people, it's hard for us to see bitterness in ourselves. So we have to recognize bitterness. We have to inspect our heart constantly. We have to always be on the lookout for just negative feelings for us going on the inside. Ugh, when we think of somebody, just that we have to always be on the lookout for the start of bitterness in our hearts. And when we feel a tiny little bit, we have to say that's bitterness. We have to call it out. We have to say that's bitterness. So in this moment, ask yourself, who don't you feel good with? Who makes you, when you think about them, if you weren't in church, who would you react when you think about them by kind of raising your lip and going, ugh, who is that person for you right now? See, when we think about that, we can't let ourselves be deceived by saying, no, everything's good. It's fine. It's not. When we know that everything isn't good, when we know we feel that acid reflux of bitterness towards that person, and we have to cut off bitterness so by recognizing it and then by treating it as the sin that it is. Bitterness is sin. We could read Hebrews 12, or we could read Hebrews 12 again. It's sin. It's a sinful emotion that we feel. We connect the bitterness that we feel in our hearts with the offenses. Yeah, I justify my bitterness by saying I deserve to feel that way because look at what they did to me. And I don't feel that it's sinful because I'm justified in feeling that. But we have to look at our own bitterness apart from the offense that the person did and say, it's its own thing in my heart. And it, in and of itself, it is sinful that I would feel this way towards my brother. Nothing justifies me feeling this way towards them. And when we see it, we have to confront it by name. We have to say, whether it's in our brothers, we have to go to our brothers and say, it seems like there's bitterness in you. The way you talk about that other brother, that seems like bitterness. We have to call out bitterness in others, but even more, we have to confess our own bitterness. When we see it in ourselves, we have to tell God, I'm bitter towards that. We have to confess our bitterness and repent of it and leave it behind and decide that is not going to be part of my life. The same way we would do with any other sin that we have in our lives. We have to pull up the weed of bitterness when we see it growing in our hearts. And also, there's an end also to this application because go back to the verse, strive for peace with everyone. That's verse 14. What comes right before verse 15? Strive for peace with everyone and for holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. And he connects it seamlessly to see to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and defiles many. We see to it that no bitterness springs up by seeking to be at peace with all men. I mean, bitterness comes out of what? It comes out of conflict and offenses that aren't resolved. God calls his children to live at peace with all people. That means we should run around trying to reconcile our differences that we have with other people as quickly as possible, expressing what we feel, saying what bothers us, listening to the other person, their side of the story. God calls his children to seek not just peace with other people, but the holiness. Now, that's a general thing. What is it? It's being like God in everything, but in this specific context, it definitely means trying to be like God in the way we treat other people. So as we seek peace with other people, we should try to be like God and have more grace with the people that offend us and not take personally the offense and not assume that they're doing the thing because they're thinking badly about us and they want to hurt us. We should forgive the offenses that others give, that make towards us. We should try to resolve everything as quickly as possible before it gets big and out of hand and bitterness grows in our hearts. So if you're a Christian, that's our application. Let me ask you a question. Is there bitterness that you feel towards someone in your heart right now that you need to confess, that you need to repent of, that you need to stop saying, I feel this way because of what they did, but rather I feel this way and the way I feel is sinful? And is there something that you need to resolve with somebody? Not in the middle of church, but although, leave your gift at the altar. There is as soon as possible. What do you need to resolve and with whom? We're to seek the peace with all men actively and take care that bitterness does not spring up. And if you're not a Christian, you hear all that and you say, okay, so what's the application for me? Well, maybe if you're not a Christian, you've been around Christians, which I would assume is true because you're here, you've probably seen Christians treat each other poorly with bitterness, the way that blood brothers and sisters treat each other sometimes. And guess what? Even that is an invitation for you because you see how God wants his children to treat each other. And then you see our imperfect way of treating each other. And in that, you see the grace that our Father has with us in spite of our failures one to another over the years. And God the Father offers you that same thing. You can be his child. You can be full of his Spirit. He will guide you to live at peace with your brothers. And the blood of Christ will also cover you. You will have forgiveness in Christ for all the times that you've not treated people the way that you should have treated them. You'll have forgiveness for the bitterness that sometimes lives in your heart. That happens when you surrender to Jesus, when you repent and are baptized, and when you say, I want that, I'm ready, I want that kind of forgiveness for the bitterness that is in my heart, tell somebody, tell one of the men who've been up here today, you can repent and be baptized. And now, I'm so glad that we're ending, as we always do, by taking the supper together, because if we wouldn't be, the temptation would be to have a moralistic sermon about bitterness. Go out and try to be less bitter. It's a good day to end at the feet of the cross because it forces us in the middle of a world that when we're offended and mistreated and bitterness can so easily spring up in our hearts and contaminate and defile, it reminds us that our hope is in Christ. It's because of the gospel that we have hope. It's because of what Jesus did on the cross when he took our guilt upon himself and he suffered horribly in our place that we can be forgiven for all of eternity. And it's because of that that we can also forgive the offenses of others towards us and let go of our bitterness. We don't have to carry it. Why? Because we've been forgiven of offenses that are so much bigger than what you've done to me. We can have this security and the confidence to confess our bitterness and say, I've carried bitterness in my heart. Why? Because I know as I take the bread and the cup, I know that I have been forgiven by Jesus in the cross. So as we take the bread and the cup together, let's thank our Savior. And let's together, individually, as we do this, let's dedicate ourselves to becoming more like him and treating other people with the grace that we've received from our Savior in the cross. God, we come to you and we thank you because you are good and kind and loving, and you, through your word, you peel back our hearts and you expose the ugliness that lives in us. It seems like the longer that we walk with you, the better we can get it at looking good on the outside. And then we read your word, and you expose to each one of us, you expose to me the bad things in our hearts. And you call us to be more like Jesus and like a surgeon who digs in to pull out what shouldn't be there. You operate on us through your word. And so God, I pray that you would, as we think about bitterness, as we think about this emotion that we should not feel, that is sinful, that you would expose, as we continue to reflect on this, you would expose that in our hearts, that you would show us how we can love other people more and forgive as we have been forgiven, that you would expose in our hearts things that we've been holding on to, maybe for years sometimes, and that we would be able to come to you and repent of that and leave it behind. And we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the love that you showed to us on the cross through him and the forgiveness that you give us. And God, I pray, I beg you that forgiveness would free us to forgive as we have been forgiven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.